The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 34. This is the New International Version. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the God Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine with vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. This Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday. It may be one that you've heard of already. It may not. It's not one of the big ones. It's not a Christmas. It's not an Easter. It's not a Pentecost. It's not an All Saints Sunday. There's very little fanfare surrounding this one. You won't see Christ the King decorations in the stores and the malls. There's not a Hallmark special about it, I don't think. There's no Black Friday sale for it. In terms of the calendar year, there's not much to it at all. And quite frankly, even in terms of the Christian liturgical calendar year, there's a little bit of, what is that? Well, allow me to explain. In the church, we follow what is called the liturgical calendar or the Christian calendar, and there are some overlaps with the actual calendar year that we all follow, but there are some differences as well, especially this time of year, and we feel the tension this time of year. The liturgical calendar invites us to reenact the life of Christ from his birth, all of his teachings, to his death, to his resurrection, to his new life again. And so that's what we're doing when we celebrate the Christian year. Christ the King Sunday, then, is the culmination of the Christian year in that it celebrates the victory of Christ over all the forces of evil in the world. And it celebrates the crowning moment when God declares victory over the powers of hell. It is the denouement of God's entire salvation plan for the history of the world. When God finally decides to bring this whole earth project thing to a close, and then creates a new heaven and a new earth. And there are wonders beyond what we can possibly imagine. And then next Sunday, we start over all again. This Sunday is the last Sunday of the Christian year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the Christian year, the first Sunday in Advent. And we begin that countdown to Christmas when we anticipate the words of the prophets and the words of the angels, when we anticipate that God's word became flesh and dwelled among us. It's all very exciting. But back to the regular old calendar for just a moment. Sometimes it feels to me like we are just stuck in this amalgam of time. And we don't know what to do. It begins right after Halloween. And we find on the whole that we don't know what we're celebrating. Are we celebrating Halloween? Are we celebrating fall? Are we celebrating Thanksgiving? Are we celebrating Advent? Are we celebrating Christmas? Are we celebrating Valentine's Day? Because right after Christmas, there'll be Valentine's decorations out in the mall. It's all over the place. Plus, the weather is all over the place, too, isn't it? I mean, we look out the window, we don't know, do we need to cut grass? Do we need to rake leaves? Do we need to scrape ice off our windshield? What a mixture of things coming together. So allow me to funnel your thoughts for just a moment as we stay fixed in this particular moment in time, Christ the King Sunday, or as some like to say, Christ our King Sunday, because Christ is our King. It is a day that invites us to participate in Christ's victory, and a day that invites us to be reminded of who we are as God's children. We are children of the living God. We are those who worship the living Christ who is risen among us and who is with us now. And in his joyful presence, we know and feel the assurance of our salvation, so that we never have to fear the grave, and we never have to fear hell. Goodness is always before us. Grace is always before us. Heaven is always before us. Isn't that wonderful? It is. Thanks be to God. When you consider the metaphor of Jesus Christ as King, you might immediately begin to have associations of royalty in your head. What comes to mind? Golden crowns, long, flowing, resplendent robes, jewelry and rings, a throne, a mace or a scepter. The images that come to mind are images that are associated with the earthly concept of king. Many of you, I know, have been looking forward to season 5 of The Crown. In my opinion, it is the best thing on TV, the whole series. If you haven't seen it, it gives a detailed look at the royal family of England, particularly focusing on Queen Elizabeth II, but also spanning the generations just before and just after. It is an up-close and personal look at the royal family, perhaps too close for some, because it shows a deeply human side. As you might expect, the royal family was not perfect. They're human. They're human just like you and me, made up of the same stuff as all the rest of us, full of imperfections, full of mistakes, full of flaws, full of sin. And maybe we don't like the imperfections and the flaws and the sins. Maybe we prefer what we see on the outside, the glitz and the glamour. It helps us hold on to that perfect ideal, even though the ideal doesn't match reality. And maybe even that ideal doesn't exist at all on this side of heaven. Instead, we discover that those beautiful golden crowns may be shiny on the outside, but sometimes full of rust on the inside. Jesus was nothing like the kings and the royalty of this world. In fact, Jesus was just the opposite in just about every single kind of way. For starters, Jesus didn't wear a golden crown. He wore a crown of thorns. His coronation wasn't in Westminster Abbey. It was in a place known as Golgotha, which translates as the place of the skull. There were no trumpets to herald him as king, just the mocking crowd shouting, "Crucify him." It's a pretty stark contrast. How's that for a coronation? Scripture for this day goes right to the cross. There we see Jesus hanging in agony, and with whatever breath he was able to muster, he is talking to the two that are on either side of him, actual criminals, one on his right, one on his left, who had been condemned to death right along with Jesus. Luke's gospel records the conversation. And ironically, the one criminal joins with the crowd and decides to mock Jesus. And I say ironically because it's difficult for me to imagine that. I can't imagine that in my final hours of life, I would choose whatever time I have left so near to death to use that time to mock another human being, regardless of who he or she was. You would think that the threat of death would humble somebody. Not that guy. He remained arrogant and defiant and combative until the bitter end. Conversely, the other criminal was completely different. Perhaps he was keenly aware of his own mortality. Time was fleeting very quickly. Those sands of time were just passing through that hourglass very quickly. Instead, he asked Jesus for mercy. And in such a non-assuming way, he didn't specifically ask to be forgiven. Perhaps he thought he couldn't be forgiven. He didn't specifically ask to be saved. Perhaps he thought that he was beyond salvation. Instead, he asked to be remembered. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful, humble, and penitent prayer. And reminds me of another beautiful, humble, and penitent prayer that we saw in Luke's gospel just a few weeks back in the story, that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Ring any bells? And the Pharisee was arrogant and defiant to the very end. And the tax collector was humble and penitent and begging God for forgiveness. And the Pharisee walked away unforgiven. The tax collector, ironically or oppositely, walked away forgiven. It feels to me like Luke is drawing a parallel and bringing back images of that story now here on the cross when it matters the most in these final moments of life. Luke's doctrine of salvation is on display once again. Forgiveness is on display once again. To the criminal who was humble, Jesus offered him salvation. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I can't imagine there's a lot of comfort when somebody is dying on a cross, but if there would be any comfort at all, this would be it. Today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. Immediately, despair was replaced with hope. The physical pain remained. The spiritual pain was gone. And even on the cross, there was hope for the future. This very day, you'll be with me in paradise. This passage has given God's people hope from generation to generation. Not only the hope of a paradise, but hope that this very day, this moment of death, we will be with God. Our loved ones will be with God. Those that we care about deeply will be with God. But it gives us another kind of hope as well. Because we don't want a Christ who is like all the other kings of the world. We don't want a Christ who is shrouded in glory on the outside but full of rust on the inside. We want just the opposite. One with a crown of thorns, but on the inside, a treasure. A treasure which can never die. Because all that stuff on the outside is temporal. All that stuff is fleeting, as fleeting can be, as fleeting as a man dying on the cross. But what's on the inside is eternal. Compassion, mercy, hope, love, joy, peace, compassion, friendship. These are the royal banners of heaven. These are the royal banners under which we will dwell as citizens of heaven forever. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.